Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello, we're back again and having not really a clear theme between us today, we decided to go back to our old practice of pulling a card from an oracle deck. So the oracle deck of choice today was, of course, the Witch's Wisdom Tarot by Phyllis Currot, and my lovely friend Danielle Barlow is the artist. And the card that I got was Priestess, the kind of distillation of which is know thyself. Mm. And I thought, ooh, that's interesting. Just because know thyself, certainly for me, is that thing that everybody says is written in the courtyard at Delphi. The thing that they don't add is that there are actually three things written in the courtyard at Delphi. The first is know thyself. The second is nothing to excess. Mm-hmm. And the third is it amounts to insurety is ruin.
Oh, yes. The opposite of faith is certainty. The second you get sure about anything, you've slipped into your ego.
Totally.
Yeah. Not that the egos are necessarily always bad. We wouldn't remember how to walk or breathe without the ego. That's how it works in the brain. But,
Yes. Mm. So I'd like to go back to know thyself. First of all, I guess I'm intrigued. Is in Christianity, in Judaism, in any of what you know about, is there that invitation to know yourself, or is there much more the forget about you and know God instruction?
If not myself, then who is for me? And if not now, when? Rabbi Hillel. Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the love your neighbour as yourself. All these things have these implicit implications in them, because it's good mystical Christianity plays with the uncertainty and the spaces between the words. And you come back to the love your neighbour as yourself. You can't love your neighbour if you hate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Can't love
so
anyone.
You can't love anybody. No. And so it will always bring you back to, why can't I love my neighbour? Well, okay, that's because I hate myself.
So love yourself is different to know yourself.
It is different, yes. I can't think of anything that actually says know thyself. But I would say that all the stories in the Bible are where everybody goes wrong because they don't know themselves.
Mm. Okay.
So I would say it's implicit, but only for the mystics.
Yeah, fair enough.
But then in the world, it's only the mystics who actually really want to know themselves, owning the shadow, acknowledging what is the ego and what isn't. The majority of us, and I live most of my life, it's just lived happily in the ego with the occasional peek at myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw myself and displayed it, it was generally not appreciated by others. I was telling a story the other day of the funeral of my friend Pete, who died from AIDS. Back in the days when you weren't allowed to even go near them.
Mm.
And his coffin was wrapped in plastic.
Whoa.
For the cremation, you know, so nobody actually had to touch even the coffin. They didn't know how virulent it was in those days. And it was the first contemporary death of my life.
Mm.
And it was horrible, obviously. But yet I was sitting in the creme, which was packed with people. And everybody was sad and crying. And at the moment of the committal, I saw golden light and angels and Pete in them.
Mm.
And I was just sitting there beaming, going, oh, my God, he's in heaven. Oh, my God, there's no stigma to this at all. Oh, my God, there is nothing. It knocked everything into a cocked hat of everything I was trained in. But, of course, I couldn't go around beaming at everybody afterwards because it was, even though that was a real, true mystical experience, it had to be held sacred, and the root of sacred is secret.
Mm-hmm.
So an awful lot of knowing yourself is about going down into the secrets, isn't it?
Definitely. And the importance of it. I think sometimes the importance of why we would want to know ourselves gets completely lost in ego stories. And, you know, yes, on the one hand, you want to know yourself because, you know, if you're not interesting to yourself, you're definitely not going to be interesting to anybody else. But for me, the purpose of knowing myself is, if I truly know who and what I am and what motivates me and how I am and, you know, what are the dark undercurrents, as it were, then I will know, just as I know what is me, I will know what is not me. And so I can be really clear on when is my response to something absolutely authentically, you know, the channeling of spirit, for example, and when is it simply my ego? And that, you know, to be obviously in a position where you're trying to channel healing from the spirits or to transmit to people information from the spirits, you need to be really incredibly clear about what's mine so that I can push it aside and be the hollow bone, in my language, to you know, transmit on behalf of other, on behalf of the all that is, and it not be muddied by the weirdness of whatever's going on in me.
Do you think you can ever do that 100%?
I think... Can you ever be a hollow bone 100%?
I'm just interested. I'm not criticising you in any way.
It's just that
even when I am being a hollow bone, I can only use the vocabulary that I know.
Yeah, I was about to say pretty much exactly that.
Yeah.
Is that you can only be the tool you are.
Yes.
But
that's about knowing yourself. That's the hollow bone that I am.
Yeah.
I cannot be that hollow bone. I can be this hollow bone.
Exactly.
Yes.
In many ways, it's like... You can, so for example, I can only channel the words of spirits, for example, in English, because that is the language I speak.
Yes.
And so I can only be that version of whatever words that the spirits want to use.
Yes.
And as somebody who loves words, maybe I'm able to be a little more eloquent or more particular in my choices of exactly which words I use than somebody who has no interest in language, but maybe would be able to transmit it with far more, I don't know, feeling or more of a, you know, through the medium of interpretive dance type of thing.
Yes.
You know, it sounds like I'm being silly, but I'm really not. And that we bring who and what we are to our version of the hollow bone, but we are the tool. And so within that way, yes, you can't cease to exist.
No, but you can be as hollow as you can.
Yeah, but you can be as hollow as you can be.
You can be the drain pipe that channels the water and isn't stuffed with leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the
yeah,
the goal, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I think it's easier to do when you're older.
Much. Much easier to do when you're older.
Yeah.
Explain why you think so.
Well, over my life, the help I've had that's been genuine help has usually come from older people who've been there and who are able to explain why their bone isn't hollow.
Mm-hmm.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And I don't know, it's the old thing of information plus experience equals knowledge, and you cannot have experience in 5 minutes.
No.
It's about practicing it, falling over it, getting it wrong, doing the thing badly, looking back with utter horror at some of the things you said and some of the things you did with the best intentions that had no, which had a lawful lot of not very good marrow in them. But you stop caring about yourself so much. It's not about promoting yourself as the great healer, the great this, the great that. I remember a moment of stark humiliation. I was invited to go on a radio show to talk about something to do with holistic health or something. And I started my... they said, Maggie, what do you think on this subject? And I said, well, as a healer, I... And the other person cut in and said, we're all healers, Maggie. And I was shut up. I mean, he was absolutely right, but he did it to shame me. And it did shut me up.
Yeah.
But it was also right that it happened, because it made me go away and think, as a healer, I... Oh, dear. That's my persona needs to tell you I'm a healer. Because I've trained with the right people. Well, many people thought I didn't train with the right people, but that's another thing. Yeah, the know yourself thing is it's all about, are you willing to go deeper? Mm. Or are you covering it up by going wider?
Yes, back to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the amount of people... I've got a quite a good colleague friend who's in a very different spiritual tradition from mine, and it's a tradition where you pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas one of the things I love about mine is, although you pay for the workshops, the teaching itself is free.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think it's probably for benefit. And it's amazing how many people don't want it for free. It's interesting. I'm sort of losing my thread there. What was that about? Going deep, not wide. Oh, yes, this other woman, she gets discounts or paid when she recruits people to her tradition.
Wow.
And she decided that I would be a suitable recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about a year to be able to say to her quite openly and clearly, instead of running away, I have my tradition. It would be foolish, even unwise, to embrace a second tradition now.
Mm.
But saying that has much more gravitas to it. And she's not quite happy, she's not accepting it necessarily. But I know myself well enough to say I need to stick and go deep with this.
Yeah.
I'm not at the bottom of this yet. So if I go off on yours, I've got to start again as a beginner. And it's not my ego not wanting to be a beginner, because I'm a beginner at a lot of things in life. I'll always be a beginner at trying to cook sourdough. Oh, God. But some people can do it. I gave up on that one. But knowing yourself does mean being prepared to find something and eventually committing to, I think, one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't make that commitment, where are you? Does that make sense?
It does. Although I want to hold up with the other hand in my ever contrary manner, the notion that maybe it's a good idea to constantly and always stand in beginner's mind with everything.
That's true, yes. Oh, I accept that, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that therefore, to be open to the possibility that another...
Oh, God,
right,
yes.
Angle turn on the path is...
Oh,
possible.
God, I draw things in from so many different traditions, and I love learning from different traditions, but I'm not willing to make a 100% financial commitment to change traditions.
Yeah.
Which is that what that would require.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, I'm not at all suggesting that you should.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just, to me, I want to try to always be open to the idea that literally everything I think could be wrong.
Oh, yes. Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my point on it is I don't really want to be on anything where you have to have the obligatory photograph to share on Facebook at the end of the workshop. Do you know what I mean? Or am I being a bitch here?
I don't know.
You know, but I want to come away, I want to do the learning, to connect with the people that are appropriate for me, to receive and offer the kindnesses that are appropriate, and then go away and think about it. I don't want to have to line up and say, look, we did this.
Mm.
Does that?
Yeah, but is that just Scorpio, not virtual? Not virtual. Virtue signaling.
Yes, virtue signaling. Yes. Yeah.
Look at me. I'm clever. I did a course.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a bitch.
Well, maybe we're both being bitches, but I do come across a lot of people who are taking all these courses and doing all these things, and yet still turn to me when there's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Hmm. Hope so. But you're right about the beginner's mind, the always being willing to be proved wrong.
Yeah.
And also to hold that, the balance of it's both right and wrong.
Absolutely.
And that things are right in their time. And also, yes, things are right in their time. And if you've outgrown a tradition, if there's nothing more it should show you, absolutely move on. Mm. But is there nothing more it can show you? Is it deep enough in the first place?
Yeah, you see, we stand in very different places in that regard, in that you are in a tradition, as it were, and I'm in a tradition in that there is a very long tradition of human beings listening to spirits, but it's not... there's no structured hierarchical...
Oh, no, I don't work with hierarchy. The church does, yes, absolutely. But the tradition that I'm in, there is no... One person holds Tiferet at a meeting. One person is holding the energy of the meeting, pulling the threads. But it could be a different person the next time.
Mm-hmm.
But that person is holding those threads at that point. But my great spiritual teacher always said, the second you've got... the chairman, the deputy, the this, the that, your tradition is going to go corrupt.
Right.
And that's what's happened with Christianity, and it's happened with most of the other religions. As soon as you get that hierarchy locked into place, it becomes form rather than spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And in your tradition, you have spirit rather than form, and maybe the weakness of it is that there may not be quite enough form sometimes, whereas with mine, there's too much form.
Mm-hmm.
But in mine, I have a lifetime's task to get to the root of this thing called Christianity.
Mm.
And that's my joy and my delight and my passion. And I'll bang on about it for hour after hour after hour to the great pain and whatever of everybody else. But they just don't come back. That's all right.
Ah, but you just said they do come back.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yes, you're perhaps right. I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? Because within what gets called witchcraft, there are a lot of structures.
There are more than 3,000 versions of Christianity.
Are there?
Yes.
My goodness.
Utterly ridiculous about a man who came to lower the barriers.
3,000?
Yes. More than 3,000. And everyone thinks it's right.
Thinks their version's the way.
Yeah.
Wow, it's mad, isn't it?
It is mad.
Humans are weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I can say it. Improve on that. Humans are weird. We are all very weird. Yeah. You know, my way or the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a chap on Facebook who's a gay, former evangelical Christian in the Southern states of the USA, and he's trying to find his faith and rebuild his faith, and he keeps joining groups and getting knocked off his perch because they won't find him perfect as he is, and they want to change him, and he knows he's perfect as he is, but he's still got this pulling towards being in a form.
To but feel we safe. Do though, we don't do. We? I mean, yeah. Isn't that just a part? Again, it's a part of being human. We are a herd creature.
We are, and we say it feels safe in that herd.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people go into evangelical religions, because they didn't feel safe in the herd as a child. They didn't have the strong enough boundaries or the a life that gave them a security that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So to go into a religious group that says you do this and you'll be loved.
Yes, I can see you feel the attraction. Safe. Yeah.
Yeah, you follow these rules and God will love you. But that, you see, that's just fundamentally not what Jesus was teaching. He was teaching that God loves you whatever. Only God is good. Everybody else is loved for not being good.
Just because they
are. They are, because we are all children of this, whatever it is, and inherent parts of the whole great cosmic pattern. So there we are loved, and Hitler was not loved any less than you or I. But most people cannot handle that.
Mm.
Just because you're evil doesn't mean that you're not loved.
Which is a marvellous statement all of its own, isn't it?
It is. It really is. But not very many people can get into that. And I actually think it's wonderful. You know, you may be good because you are so loved, but you're not going to be loved because you're good.
No.
You can't virtue signal God. God's not going to go, oh, what a good girl you are. Apart from anything else, I know perfectly well, every time I go, oh, that was good, I've gone, oh, God, pride. No, it's okay to say that worked well, or I'm glad I did that.
Mm.
But the majority of times when I've done the led the Kabbalah group on a Tuesday, the majority of times I go away and go, did I do that well enough? Did I do that right? Because it's a heck of a responsibility. Because you're in a school of the soul, you're holding souls in your hand. Including your own.
Okay, explain.
Well, I'm teaching a tradition and I'm a complete beginner. I could easily get it wrong in many places. I could say something that they follow. It's like leading a funeral. When you're in that position, you could actually say to somebody, and then you need to stand on your head and turn around three times every Friday and say shit. And they'd probably do it.
But... excuse me. You're not a complete beginner, though, are you?
No, but the more I know, the less I know.
Yes. Which I suspect is ever the state of knowingness.
No, I'm not a complete beginner. No, I'm not. No, and it doesn't matter that I'm not Jewish, and it doesn't matter that I'm not a woman, but it obviously does.
It doesn't matter that you're not a woman. Gosh. Is there something you'd like to tell us, Maggie?
A strong suspicion that my soul has incarnated in masculine forms previously quite a lot.
Yeah, you've said that. So funny.
Oh dear, yes, well that blew that one out of the water.
Know thyself.
Not a woman, obviously.
Step one, check.
Well, don't need that bra pants. Then.
Oh dear. Okay, so... know thyself.
So how do you get to know yourself?
How do you get to know yourself? Whoa. How do you get to know yourself? Blimey, what an incredibly good question. I reckon step one is we're back to the fierceness of that gaze that is willing to look oneself in the eye and go... who are you really? Who are you really when the shame or the desires to be anything are taken away? Who are you in the cold light of day? Who are you in the bath with the lights on?
Yeah.
And that we will never know ourselves unless we've got the cojones, for want of a better word, to be able to turn the light on and have a damn hard, long look and really to be able to face up to our own ugliness and our own beauty.
Yeah.
And to be able to not go down either of those alleys with any kind of judgment.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying don't judge in that, in a way that would suggest condoning of the ways in which one might find oneself wanting. I'm saying don't judge in the ridiculous way of all the different iterations of does my bum look big in this kind of judging. Yeah. You know, the silly judging, basically judging that's coming from the ego rather than from truth. And that if we can do that thing, and you know what? The way we do something is the way we do everything. So a really... if you don't know how to do this, you can do a lot worse than actually strip, stand in front of a mirror with the light on, in your own nakedness, and look at yourself and listen to all the chat that comes from ego and not ego when you give yourself a long, hard look in the mirror. And, you know, I can only say it again and again and again. The way we do something is the way we do everything. And so if you can strip off in front of a mirror and look at yourself and do it with compassion and with generosity and with the knowing that your two arms and your two legs, if you're lucky enough to have them, and your 10 digits top and bottom, if you're lucky enough to have them, etc., 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 are the most extraordinary gift that you get to run or not about in all day long, then you're a good way in the way of truly knowing who you are and accepting yourself, which is that's if we don't know who we are, we can't accept ourselves. But also if we can't accept ourselves, we can't know who we are because we're hiding from who we are.
Yeah. That's fabulous, because I was going to say almost exactly that. I was going to say, you can tell you don't know yourself if you aren't willing to stand in front of a mirror naked.
Yeah.
And one lovely things about moving houses, we've got one big mirror and it was in the hallway. So as it was in the hallway in front of the front door, which has glass in it, I never stood in front of that mirror naked. But the mirror's now in our bedroom. And a couple of days ago, I put it up myself and stood in front of it naked and I just went, oh, there you are.
Yeah.
And it was lovely to see me again. And that will help me. I realised that one of the reasons why I'd started feeling shamed in the bath with the light on was I wasn't being able to see myself in the mirror naked anymore.
Mm.
And I was able to look at it and go, oh, that's all right. Yeah. Look at you. Look at those two strong legs.
Yeah.
Look at those droopy but magnificent and totally healthy breasts.
Yeah, exactly.
What a brilliant, brilliant blessing.
Yeah.
That I, who've had no physical children, have healthy uterus, ovaries and breasts.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, you know, what a spell is that?
Yes.
The to be able to look at ourselves and go, ah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, even if you've got countless bits missing or you know, for whatever reason, whether they've been, you know, surgically removed or
never there never in the first place.
In the first place or whatever.
They're technically the wrong shape and size.
Yeah. And who on earth is to judge anyway. But that if we could look at ourselves and just go, ah, thank you, body, for carrying me.
Yeah.
That is the most extraordinary blessing for good health.
Mm.
And what a practice that is, actually, yes. to stand there and bless ourselves with our own gratitude. Yeah.
And yet, you know, the majority of people can't even look at their face in the mirror and say, I love you.
No, I know. Dreadfully, dreadfully sad.
It is sad. And if you're listening now and thinking, oh God, I couldn't do that. Try starting with that. Just looking to yourself at your face in the mirror and just go, hello. Hello, you. Be friendly. Instead of, oh God, I got another mole there, or I've got more lines here, or that lipstick colour doesn't suit me, or... It is magic. Marketing is absolute magic to make us think that we're not good enough. And I'm so glad I stopped reading Cosmopolitan at the age of 25, because I suddenly realised I just wasn't having enough orgasms. At that point, I wasn't having any orgasms at all, except with myself. But I just thought, this is not doing me any good at all, articles on how to have multiple orgasms. I've got to learn how to have one, thank you.
Mm.
You know, and all this stuff of try to do this and try to do that. No, even then I knew there was a block in me.
Mm.
And that was the thing that I had to work with. And it took a long time to get through it, but I did. Where is my block?
Yeah.
But I could love, once I realised I have a block, I do not need to insult myself by reading this magazine about it, which points it out. I can love myself with it, and I can take myself around the edges until it's time for me to work out how we sort this.
Yeah.
Or whether it even needs to be sorted.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be. Yeah. But we are... Oh. I don't like it when people say that we are controlled, because it's all choice. But unless we consciously choose, we choose to be controlled.
Yes. There is an amazing sketch by a man called Bo Burnham. Oh, God, I'm not going to be able to remember what it's called. It might be called Inside. I think it's called Inside.
Yeah.
And it's a film which he made entirely by himself in lockdown, in one room. And I haven't watched all of it, but I absolutely intend to and keep forgetting. Anyway, there is this one part of it where he's got a sock puppet on his hand. And basically, the sock, I've only seen it the once, but it was absolutely magnificent. It's a demonstration of how we all want to be free, imagine that we're free, imagine that we've got free will, until the big nasty hand of the brutality of the system, if you like, comes along and, in if you're a sock monster, basically threatens to pull you off the hand, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'll do you know, what you tell me to do.
Yeah.
And how the system, the man, whatever you call it, is ultimately in control through brutality and fear. And what happens is the sock falls into line, having been threatened with brutality. Yeah. And then the sock and the master pretend to be friends. And then ultimately, of course, the master rips the sock off the hand anyway, kind of thing. And that gave me really massive pause, because I've had a lot to say about the idea of how much are we controlled and how much is that control an inside job, and how much how much do we really need to fear?
Yes, and how much of what do we think we want have we been programmed into thinking we want anyway, and we don't want it? And it's the stuff that we've been programmed into thinking that we want that controls us.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah, total.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree with you that is the case a lot. But I also think that there are, as usual, two contradictory things that are true at the same time.
Absolutely. Which is, and you have to hold the pain in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. On the one hand, mostly control is an inside job.
Yeah. But on the other hand. If they turned up at our house on Friday and said, it is imperative you get on this train now. If you don't, all your assets will be removed and your dogs will be destroyed. I'd probably get on the train.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's both.
It is both.
But if you go down the rabbit hole of hating and despising and focusing on that, you'll create more in your life.
Oh, definitely.
So it is imperative to walk free as much as you can.
As best as we can.
As best you can, yeah. Yeah. And to understand that many of the things that we think are rights are actually privileges.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to go to the Natural History Museum in London or stay in a hotel somewhere. You know, it's not something that is a right. We'd have no right to go on holiday to Spain every year. I'm not entirely sure we have a right to drink clean water if we go around polluting.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing about that is that we probably have lost the right to drink clean water, given what we've done to it as a culture. But the unfortunate, I don't know how to even speak it, is that there are everything else also has a right. And along with taking away our own right to clean water, we've taken away everybody else's right to clean water.
Yes.
And as a culture, we've forgotten that every right comes with a responsibility.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
The amount of times I say to somebody the basic principle of the Ishmael book, which is that you take your turn.
Yes.
One day you eat, the other day the other person eats.
Yeah.
One day the hunt kills, one day this deer gets away. But we humans don't live by that.
No.
And we wouldn't.
How do you mean we
wouldn't? We would refuse to live like that.
Well, except that it seems like we probably did live like
We did, yes.
Thousands and thousands of years.
Yes, yes, we did. But now we're in what we call civilization. We wouldn't do that at all. Our rights. Now, I think it does help to look at a lot of things that we think of rights as being privileges. And it always comes back to live as simple a life as you can.
But there isn't any such thing as a right that isn't a privilege, because yeah. all of it is a gift from
Gaia. Is it unconditional?
Totally, an unconditional gift, but also an offering of life back to life,
yes,
which is therefore totally a privilege, and in every sense of the word, a privilege. But the idea that, I mean, in many ways, the idea that we should have a right to anything is laughable and contemptible.
Yes. And one of the ways to get to know yourself is actually to sit down and say, I have no rights.
Mm.
What is left now?
Yeah.
Should we leave it with that?
Let's.
Thanks for listening. Bye. See you next week.